Music you love right here on VOA 1 The Hits.
Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ana Mateo. This program is for English learners, so we speak a bit slower. And our stories are written especially for people learning English. Here are the stories we have for you on today's program. First, the education report. Dan Friedel tells us about U.S. colleges dealing with the rise of COVID-19 cases. As we head into the winter holiday, some colleges are choosing to close early. Brian Lynn will bring us this week's words and their stories. Which words were the most mispronounced for the year 2021? Keep listening to find out. Then, John Russell will take us back in time with a story from Poland. Researchers there have found large amounts of dinosaur tracks. Brian Lynn will return with a story about space exploration. Katie Weaver brings us a story about preparing cauliflower. Our last story comes from Gregory Stockel. He talks about China's latest computer technology. But first, here is Dan Friedel with the Education Report.
Well-known colleges and universities in the United States announced this week that they will end the first part of the school year early because of a rise in COVID-19 cases. They will also move final tests out of classrooms and onto computers. Princeton University and Cornell University are part of the group that is closing school early. Students traditionally leave school for about 1 month after December exams. Both Cornell and Princeton say nearly all of their students are vaccinated against COVID-19. At Syracuse University in central New York, students will need to get a booster shot before coming back to school in January. The schools also said some of the COVID-19 cases are from the Omicron variant, first found in southern Africa in November. Kent Siverud is one of the top leaders at Syracuse University. Until recently, he said the school was feeling good about the part of the school year that starts in January. But Omicron has changed that, he said. He added that the school will try to keep students and teachers safe until more is known about the variant. Malika Gore is a student at Syracuse University from India. She spoke with VOA in early November for a story about her experience at school this year. On Wednesday, she said she already has her booster shot, but she has some classmates from other countries who may not be able to get a booster before they go home. They will have to return to the U.S. early because boosters are not yet available where they live. Gore said her parents wonder if she should come back to the U.S. in January. They have been reading the news, she said. There are some articles saying it is supposed to peak in January.
For me, it's a worry that if I come, what will be changed? I hope I don't have to mid-semester go back to my country. So I think that's the worry.
The Associated Press news agency reports that over 20 colleges recently told their students and teachers to get boosters. Universities throughout the U.S., including Boston University and the University of New Mexico, have asked people on their campus to get boosters. The drug company Pfizer recently said a booster of their vaccine helps protect against Omicron. Emily O'Brien is a first-year student at the University of Massachusetts, where most students are vaccinated. She said she was already planning to get a booster, but if the university requires it, more of her classmates will get a third shot. O'Brien and her classmates will need to take a virus test before coming back to school in January. Students at Middlebury College in Vermont recently went back to taking classes by video. At the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia, students are no longer allowed to gather except for classes. The Cornell University COVID-19 website reported over 800 cases in the week ending December 13th. There are more than 20,000 students at Cornell. The school's student newspaper reports that Omicron came up in some tests, which is one reason for the decision to move the final exams out of classrooms. The school also asked students to be sure they had a negative test before going home. Martha Pollack is the Cornell president. She called the change extremely dispiriting in a message to students. On Wednesday, New York University said it was canceling all sports events, parties, and study groups. Gore said it will be frustrating if her school imposes restrictions on in-person classes when she returns in January. However, she said she is trying to think positively about the future. "We have this virus. We know this is not going to go away soon," she said. "What can we do so we are still being safe, but we are making the most of our college experience?" I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Dan. Now, let's hear from Brian Lynn.
Each year brings a new set of words that are widely used but difficult to pronounce. Among the terms making the 2021 list were a new version of the coronavirus, a superstar singer, and the names of two digital currencies. The list identifies words that were most often mispronounced by American newsreaders and television presenters. The U.S. captioning company chose the words. It creates captions for live events on television and in courtrooms. The creation of the list was supported by the language learning company Babbel. Esteban Tuma is a teacher for the company's Babbel Live service. He said, "As a language teacher, it's always interesting to see that some of these terms are usually new colloquialisms or are rooted or borrowed from another language. A colloquialism is an informal word or expression that is more useful in speech than writing." Tuma added, "As a non-native speaker, I must confess it's fun to see English speakers stumbling a bit for a change." He provided the Associated Press with guidance on how to correctly pronounce the words that made the list. Here are the explanations with phonetic pronunciations next to the words. Chuji, a term made popular by members of Gen Z, a name for the generation of people born in the late 1990s through the early 2000s. Chuji is used to describe people and lifestyle choices considered outdated, unpopular, or uncool. Chipotle. This U.S.-based restaurant company received viral attention on the internet with a campaign that centered on how older people pronounce the name. Talgona, a sweet Korean treat made with melted sugar and baking soda. It was shown in the widely popular Netflix TV series Squid Game. Dogecoin, a form of cryptocurrency that began as kind of a joke before being popularized by Tesla and SpaceX chief Elon Musk. Ethereum, another form of cryptocurrency that skyrocketed in value this year. Eilish, the last name of Grammy Award-winning singer Billie Eilish. Ever Given, the name of the ship that blocked the Suez Canal in March, costing billions of dollars in lost trade. Many news presenters mistook the name of the ship as Evergreen, but that was actually the name of the company that owns the ship, which was printed on its side. Glasgow, the Scottish city where the United Nations Climate Conference was held. The name was widely mispronounced, including by both President Joe Biden and former President Barack Obama. Kells, the last name of American football player Jason Kells, who plays for the Philadelphia Eagles. He said earlier this year that his teammates and the media had been saying his name wrong for years. Omicron, U.S., or Omicron, Britain, the name of a new COVID-19 variant. It is a letter of the Greek alphabet, in keeping with the World Health Organization's system of identifying new coronavirus versions. Shein, the Chinese clothing company at the center of the Shein Hall trend. The trend involves people recording themselves trying on numerous sets of the company's clothes. Stefanos Tsitsipas, a Greek tennis player currently ranked number 4 in the world. Yassify, a popular trend in which different beauty filters are put onto well-known pictures to produce humorous effects. I'm Brian Lynn.
Thank you, Brian, for that story. Next, John Russell brings us a story about dinosaurs, set in Poland.
Hundreds of dinosaur footprints and bones have been found in Poland. The prints are in such good condition that even the scaly skin can be seen. The finding gives important information about the complex environment that existed about 200 million years ago, researchers said. The Polish Geological Institute, National Research Institute, described the find as a treasure trove, meaning a collection of valuable things. The footprints and bones were found in a clay mine in Borkowice, 130 kilometers south of Warsaw. Scientist Gregor Pienkowski from the National Geological Institute in Warsaw and Gregor Niedzwiedzki from Uppsala University in Sweden found the remains. Niedzwiedzki said the find offers much information. In the traces left by dinosaurs, you can read their behavior and habits, we have traces left by dinosaurs running, swimming, resting, and sitting, he said. The largest footprints measure 40 centimeters. The researchers said those were left by meat eaters or carnivores. In many prints, the skin left a very clear image. In order for such a state of preservation to be possible, a very special sequence of events had to take place in a short time, Pienkowski said in a statement. Several hundred dinosaur tracks, representing at least 7 kinds of dinosaurs, have been found, and geologists say they are likely to find more. They have also discovered small pieces of bone from animals and fish. I'm John Russell.
Thank you, John. For our next story, here is Katie Weaver.
Cauliflower is a vegetable that can be fixed in many tasty ways. You can cut it in big pieces and cook it over a fire as if it is meat. You can cook it until it is soft and crush it up or mash it just like a potato. You can even turn the white vegetable into a stretchy material that you can flatten and cook like a pizza. From Greece to Israel to China, cooks from around the world are creative with cauliflower. Roasting is cooking something for a long time. Cauliflower is delicious when it is prepared this way, with a spicy mixture spread all over the vegetable. The mixture, or paste, creates a flavorful surface that browns and gets hard as it cooks. But the rest of the cauliflower softens. The recipe for this meal is found in Cookish, a book by chef Christopher Kimball. The book limits itself to recipes of just 6 ingredients without any sacrifices of flavor. Kimball says the roasted cauliflower recipe is based on the flavor of gobi manchurian, an Indo-Chinese dish. The widely popular food is known for its saucy quality and its salty and sweet spiciness. The spices used in the paste include the Indian spice blend garam masala, Chinese chili garlic sauce, and simple ketchup. The liquid reduces as the ketchup is heated, which deepens its tomato-based sweetness. The sugars in the ketchup work with the heat to brown the food. When the cooking is complete, the cauliflower is cut into large pieces. Cut up some green onion into small pieces and throw some on top of each piece. It adds a nice fresh edge to the already complex flavor of the roasted cauliflower. I'm Katie Weaver.
Thanks, Katie. Next, we hear again from Brian Lynn with a story about space exploration.
The American Space Agency, NASA, says a spacecraft has entered the sun's outermost atmosphere for the first time. The Parker Solar Probe traveled through the solar atmosphere's outer edge known as the corona, in April, scientists announced this week. They said it took them a few months to examine data from the spacecraft and to confirm the result. Unlike Earth, the Sun does not have a solid surface. Instead, it is a superheated ball of material held together by gravity and magnetic forces. Some solar material escapes and is released into space in what is known as the solar wind. The solar wind is the flow of charged particles, known as plasma, released from the corona into space. The Parker Solar Probe was launched in 2018 with a main goal of studying the solar wind. Scientists say being able to study the solar wind and the corona close up can help them better understand how solar activity influences Earth. NASA has described the spacecraft's entry into the outermost atmosphere as successfully touching the Sun. Noor Rouafi is the project scientist on the mission. He is with the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory in Maryland. Rouafi called the finding fascinatingly exciting. The spacecraft is now able to sense conditions in the magnetically influenced corona for the very first time, Rouafi said. He added that the evidence used to confirm the findings included data on magnetic fields and the solar wind, as well as images. We can actually see the spacecraft flying through coronal structures that can be observed during a total solar eclipse, Rouafi said. Scientists announced the findings during a meeting of the American Geophysical Union. Results were also published by the American Physical Society. The scientists reported Parker was about 13 million kilometers from the center of the Sun when it crossed the boundary between the solar atmosphere and the solar wind. They said the spacecraft was able to go in and out of the corona at least three times. The Parker team said early data also suggested the spacecraft may have entered the corona during its ninth close pass in August. But further study is needed to make a confirmation. The scientists said Parker made its 10th close pass last month. The spacecraft is expected to keep getting closer to the Sun and diving deeper into the corona until its final orbit, planned for 2025. I'm Brian Lynn.
Thanks again, Brian. Finally, here is our last story for today. Gregory Stockel takes us to China and their development of high-level computer technology.
Researchers say China's improvements in quantum computing will help its armed forces, which are the world's third strongest. Quantum computing is a kind of computing that lets high-powered machines solve problems that are too difficult for normal computers. The idea for quantum computing was discovered by American physicist Richard Feynman in 1980. International Institute for Strategic Studies said in a 2019 study that it has two important military uses. It can understand secret military messages, and it can break into secure communications. Alexander Vuving is a professor at the Daniel K. Inouye Asia Pacific Center for Security Studies in Hawaii. He said he thinks China spends a lot of money on research and development. He also said that the government uses private civilian companies to develop its military. Last month, consulting business Booz Allen Hamilton said that within 10 years, Chinese threat groups will gather information that permits quantum computers to find new, valuable materials. These could include drugs and chemicals. It is not known how far Chinese researchers have developed quantum computing. The U.S. Defense Department's 2021 report to Congress on China says the Asian superpower continues to seek leadership in important technologies with possible military uses. The report added that China's 14th five-year plan, an economic plan, pushes quantum technology in many fields. Heather West is a researcher with Market Research Business IDC in Massachusetts. She said quantum computing could help find hidden military vehicles. It could also permit countries to gain more information about other countries' militaries. Vuving said quantum computing around the world is at a nascent stage, but many countries are in a race to develop it. He said they include the United States, India, Japan, and Germany, in addition to China. He said anyone in the lead would likely not last long, as competitors would quickly copy their improvements. Chen Yifan is an assistant professor of diplomacy and international relations at Temkang University in Taiwan. Chen said Taiwan, the United States, or the European Union are all likely targets for China to launch quantum computing attacks as long as countries do not have robust quantum cryptography to defend. In August 2020, the administration of then-President Donald Trump, National Science Foundation and Department of Energy announced a plan to spend $625 million over 5 years on quantum research and development. We're seeing a lot of research and development going into the Department of Defense in the U.S., West said. She said, I don't think they would be pouring money into it if they didn't think there was that potential. I'm Gregory Stockel.
Thanks, Gregory. And that is our show for today. Thanks for listening. Some content in this program was provided by the Associated Press or Reuters News Agency. And don't forget to join us again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Anna Mateo.